the presentation that you have received is quite long, but the officials will not be going through it line by line. That is just a source document for your information on the annual report. I think that by now it is very clear that the plan which we have with energy, which includes our independent independent power producer program, provides us with opportunities to leverage state funding for the promotion of energy security. What we know for sure is that approximately 7,761 megawatts can be generated for from base load energy sources like coal, natural gas, and hydro energy if we want to meet some of the limitations that we have in our current electrification program. But there's so much detail that our department has. I've asked them to give you as much information as possible. If there's anything that you feel we haven't covered, please do feel free to request further information. Honorable members, I also just upfront like to apologize for the NCOP in Oudtshoorn. The day when you had the discussion on energy, unfortunately there was a three-line call and I was requested to be National Assembly. So I have committed myself to going back to Oudtshoorn and to various other provinces to have mini energy summits and to address the provinces on their specific energy needs. I also like to say that in our presentation there's information which may be applicable to the previous financial year. So if there's an update or updated information that you require, we'll also be readily available to do so. I'm not going to take much more of your time, Honorable Chair, but once more, thank you for the members for staying quite late in the day, and you have had a tough day, but we are committed to be accountable to you from the provincial side. I have some Northern people here. You call them potential veterans, but he comes from my same province. So when we give reports and also take your visits very seriously. I may not be on those visits with you, but when your reports do come, I attend to those reports quite meticulously. So Chairperson, even though your oversight visits may not, you may think that I'm not there physically, when your reports come, I look at the comments which you make and do consider them. Again, the past year has been tough. You know the constraints we've had, the challenges we've had. But even though it's tough, it has been worse before. I think we've come down in terms of the challenges of load shedding, but it can still be managed much better. What we're trying to promote today, we're not disrupting the meeting, but with all the works, you will find a console jar. It's an ordinary jar that you normally put canned fruit in. You put the jar in the sun during the day, and as if you have load shedding in a pleasure park, you just click it on the top, and instead of having lights, the jar will give you solar light. One candle is only be used for romantic purposes, not for load shedding. But don't use the console jar for romantic purposes. You want to have a console solar dinner. It must be a candle-lit dinner for Mother's Day. Please don't give your wives my console jar for Mother's Day. It's a green jar for light. And I'm not promoting load shedding, please. Just to demonstrate, if you could bring me one of those jars, it has a solar panel on top. You put it in the sun during the day, and there's a very simple lever. Yeah. if you see there's a lever right here, and if you click it on there, it will give you light. If the light comes on yesterday, the light. That's what happens. So you'll receive the fees. There's a huge remorse, but I say my committees must have first preference to these lights. It's also a South African proud, South African product. You know, the console jar is a South African product. Thanks. Jay, I'll ask the question, so I'll be here, and then I'll ask that the more technical details are given by the acting chair that
issue. Thank you very much, Minister. I thought you had another member of our.
Thank you, Honourable Chair. Chair, I just want to make sure the Minister knows that we are not in Kimberley now. So these jars, I don't know if they work with the clouds in Cape Town.
I think the Honourable Kapoor will respond to you later. Well, thank you very much, Minister. We also accept your apology for not being part of us in Botswana. Did receive an apology, including the Deputy Minister's apology. We also received that apology even now today for today's meeting. We did receive that apology. Secondly, the people of Botswana were very much pleased getting you down there. So I can see you did take the most of that. But I want to also appreciate in our oversight list that speaks to energy. I know it's not the project coming about the Nelson Mandela letter, but I want to appreciate the office and the department officials that were there. Throughout our visits, I must say that they were there. We are seeing very much for their presence. Sure, it was an eye opener also for them to be part of us and the committee. I just want to put you in the room that you don't take us off. If you're not there, but you're always represented. Thank you very much for that. Without saying much, ladies and gentlemen, can we request acting DG, Dr. Barnard, we are at your mercy. Take us home.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson, other members, Honorable Minister, Joint Petition. Honorable Chair, can I just ask that I just introduce the team, or can I just ask that you speak? I just want to get clarity from your side.
Yes, yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Maybe I can ask that while I speak, then introduce yourself in terms of to share, to just have some time. Mm-hmm. Chair, thank you very much for the opportunity. As Minister indicated, these are around 90 slides, but don't be distracted that we will take you through each of it. It is for reference purposes. Each of the different programs will be summarized in terms of the important aspects. Our respective managers of those branches. I should start off by saying that in terms of solar lamps on a wheelchair, you don't need only sunlight. It can also work under clouds. It isn't what you see, it's the waves, the infrared waves that you need. So it comes through clouds. So it does also work under cloud conditions. On a wheelchair, on page 2 and 3, is the presentation lamp, and the sections we will deal with is it's four filters. It's a background, and then there's a summary of the overall strategic plan from 2015 to 2020, and section C is dealing with the annual performance plan and AP for 2015-16, and then the last section is the budget vote allocation to the department. I think it's important that we also have a summary of that. What I going to just mention up front, Honourable Chair members, is the section E and C, those parts will be summarised by the respective managers, but the respective detail of each of the programmes are in the back for your own reference. That's also as it's been published, because as you know, we have to publish it, so we thought we'll just get through in that format. As a start, just background on slide 5 of the spec of slides, I think the only aspect I want to mention is that the department has been was established in May 2009, so it makes us right now 5 years old, which is pretty young, if other entity. So it's quite a young and fresh department. If we then go to slide 6, just in terms of what is the legal framework that is put us on track. Firstly, the policy is the NGY policy, and the legislation that is directly overarching covering our functions and the five functions of the National Energy Act of 2008. And there is also the mandate of the department what we need to do in terms of diversification of resources, that we need to do it in a stable manner, and we need to support the economy. And then to carry out that mandate, we have to develop policies, legislation, and then also have regulatory oversight functions through the petroleum industry, and then also to make sure that different energy programs and projects are implemented, which will also reflect on, and lastly, the minister's oversight in terms of the six different state-owned entities. The other the legislation, so I'm not going to deal with that, it's just as a reference point. Slide 8 is giving us an overview of the fact that there are 7 branches, and again, the next 2 slides, 9 and 10, is just describing of the purpose of each of the various branches, that's for own Brazil. And then slide 11 is just also to indicate on the chair members, we'll also have 9 different provincial offices. I think it's quite important for this community also to notice that we have footprints throughout the country, and there's different venues are mentioned there. We just now in the process of establishing our own separate entity. Up till very recently, we're sharing still with Manuel Resources because of the stock connection, but due to financial constraints, we couldn't immediately move into our own offices. We have now 5 offices, and now we moved into the 6th one, and the other 2 are nearly completed, and then there's still only 1 that we hopefully will occupy towards the end of this year, and we have all our own entities and regions. The next slide is giving a summary of the number of positions in the department. You'll note that there are 847 approved positions. But unfortunately, only 620 are funded, and 227 are non-funded. If we then look at the comment that I made earlier, that 6 entities, state entities, are reporting to the minister, and just to summarize it, the first one on the table there is the National Nuclear Regulator, with its regulation, the act that's established. And the function of this regulator is to ensure that any person or property is an environment is protected against any nuclear activity, and hence they are the overarching regulator to ensure the safety standards, regulation, practices that need to be implemented by industry in this regard. If we then look at Central Energy Fund, I think it's well known that they are finance and promoting various activities around exploration in gas, oil, and then also renewable energies the last couple of years, and also the ensuring of these products are then supplied to the industry. The third entity is the South African Nuclear Energy Corporation that has the commercial responsibility around nuclear and related products and services, ensure that it's been delivered, but also the African national safeguard obligations towards the country and the national agencies. The fourth one is the National Radiation Waste Disposal Institute. It's a new SME that's been added to the department, and they mainly responsible for managing radioactive waste disposal activities. The fifth one is the National Energy Regulators Africa, very well known that regulates not only trade but also gas and petroleum pipelines in the country. And the last one is SANE, South African National Energy Development Institute, that is an applied energy research institute that fulfills various abilities, energy work in terms of applied research on behalf of government and department. If we move to the next few slides, which is slide 14 and 15, you see a summary of the various legislations that is in process to be introduced to Parliament and being developed. The first one, and I'm going to quickly run through it, my apologies, is the Electricity Regulation Amendment Bill, that is to amend the current Electricity Bill Act to make vision for the regulatory improvement through regulator, that section of the regulator. And then there's also the Energy Regulatory Amendment Bill, that is to promote administration and functioning of our regulator more effectively as you progress with time, the industry trends, and then also the way you need to manage your administrative team and also adapt to that. The third one is the gas maintenance bill, as you are aware, our gas is a growing energy carrier that we didn't have up for now redeveloped, and this bill will then give us more direction for downstream opportunities and development of our downstream part of the gas industry in South Africa for various gas carriers, not only normal LNG, but also unconventional gas. The electricity industry structures bill is a bill that we want to introduce that will then also clarify certain investment and certain developments around the generation of electricity in the country. And the National Radioactive Waste Management Fund bill is one that we can formalize the funding mechanism of the Radioactive Waste Management Institute. The next one is the Nuclear Amendment Bill. We need to review that act to update it with respect to the current developments on the nuclear front. And then also the National Nuclear Electricity Act is going to be amended in the same process. Then the last one is the Strategic Fuels Fund Bill, and that is to manage and ensure that our respect of energy is properly being constituted in terms of managing our stock, stock in terms of gas and petroleum products. Chair, yeah, we're going to move to this in terms of an overview before we're going to move to the specific progress of projects.
Right now there are 37
new renewable IPPs being introduced onto the national grid with a total capacity of 2,800 megawatts that supplied. I also mentioned that there's two bigger diesel distributed gas stations that's nearing completion. The one will be completed by the end of the year, another one early next year, that will also assist us in some of the peaking systems. Then on distribution infrastructure, Chair and members, distribution infrastructure in terms of electricity networks are one of our challenges that's also highlighted here, due to the fact that as with on the maintenance side of generation, also on the maintenance side of infrastructure, it wasn't done to the full extent. There's some processes in currently being put in place because of multidisciplinary activity. It doesn't only belong to the Department of Energy, there's a COPTA involvement, there's National Treasury involvement, there's ESCOM involvement, the EPA involvement is a multi-departmental activity. But what we did for our side is do analysis of what is the challenge in terms of the infrastructure. And very recently we completed a study which indicated that the backlog is quite severe. It was into 70 billion rands to normalize the networks. And that's why we need to know where the bottlenecks are. We did the study and indicate, you know, what resources can be allocated. The next question is one aspect to deal with the supply, but also to look at how we consume electricity instead of focus on energy efficiency, demand side management. And I think it's important that we need to mention this very initiative that is the pipeline that we have started. But this measure is a long-term measure. You don't see overnight. It's a long-term effect that you see. And you can start seeing it. You can see some of the decreases in the mass on some areas of the country. It's not only due to the fact that industries are not optimizing the usage of electricity, optimizing the way they utilize electricity. You see the amount of functioning chain currently in the country and energy efficiency measure to save electricity. That at the end of the day is adding up to the decrease. Everything moving well, but we need to bring also, as a third, fourth bullet point, we need to make sure the access to electricity is sufficient for most of the time. And there is a program that we run on integrated electrification plan to ensure bringing electrification connections, grid and off-grid, to our citizens, but also to make sure that we're optimizing technology in this regard. Then the next one is if you talk about electricity, just one of the petroleum products are the source of challenges. We have this issue also from month to month. The experience is quite a volatility in our petroleum product price. Lately it's stabilized slightly, but towards the bottom of last year, the beginning of this year, it's quite a fluctuation. Luckily it's downward, then it flattens off as you predicted in terms of the fact that it's different factors that is playing in on this. It's not only a technology, but also some political forces that are playing a role in this, and there will be also some mention being made by the respective managers. I think all we're struggling with aging infrastructure, not only electricity but also on the petroleum side, in terms of our refineries, and also the way we do things around that, and it needs to be not only the infrastructure but also the products that we're providing in terms of lighting sleep fuels that we need to introduce. I think that brings us to the cost of energy. The cost of energy is high, and we have responsibility to ensure that it's clamped down to be cost reflective as far as possible. But our chair members, if you're in a new build phase, and to make sure that the energy that supplies the energy is sustainable, then unfortunately that has the effect that you have upward pressure on the tariffs in terms of these energy carriers. And then the second last item that we can identify here is the economic transformation that is not taken off as predicted. And there's actually a disappointment in terms of some of the sectors within the electricity industry. On the electricity side, there are various processes that we can say have been good progress. Some of the hasn't. In the multinational level, there's some progress, but on the lower levels, we didn't see that progress trickling down. On the petroleum industry side, I think there's quite a lagging far behind in the petroleum industry, specifically if you look at the petroleum charter, and not adhering to what they have established themselves, created themselves. Then lastly, I think one that is always in it, but I think this issue about the budget and baseline reduction of CHES members. As I said, the department we started off as a young department, our baseline was very low, and in that period which we were required to grow as a department, and as an important factor contributing to the economic transformation of the country, we couldn't really fully adhere to that because of the cost of containment measures that were seen to us. So we come from a low base, and you've been request annually to decrease your budget, then it makes it very, very difficult to grow. So that's really eating us very, very severely. The next slide is also my last slide that I'm going to deal with in this capacity, honorable chairs, such as members. This is, if you look to the, to the strat plan and IPP, it deals with the different, it's integrated and presented with respect to the different branches. And you can easily lose the focus of what is the key priorities of the department. And this slide is just summarizing those seven priorities. And if you hone down behind each of these items or activities that's mentioned here, for instance, electricity supply or SME oversight, you will find in the MVP and strength plan these being dealt with. This is just as a summary of members, what is the key focus of the department? It's A, number one is electricity security supply, petroleum and gas infrastructure that need to be upgraded, effective efficient energy transformation, including these not only the way we utilize, but also access to it, and policy and legislation and development. Our SOD oversight, I think, is very important. It's very important government are improving our SODs and the way they need to contribute to the development state of the country. And then one very important aspect is targeted training. I think for too long, especially in our department, we have done training, but it's more to comply. And what we're doing from this year is that we are focusing on very specific energy sectors and then to training at a much longer period, a much larger in numbers. It doesn't matter if you want to build a new technology, say for instance biofuels, and you only train 5 people a year. What we're doing now is we take our big numbers, large numbers out to be trained. An example in the case is 2 weeks ago we sent out 50 students to China to be trained for a long period on different nuclear technologies, and that's been followed up by another numbers. We're going to do the same with all others at Nishikari University planning. And then lastly, is that I think it's really important that we need to communicate what we are doing more effectively and more direct. Well, Chair, there is the oversight of the background to the law and some challenges. And the next slide from slide 19 to slide 80 is all different programs divided between the long-term, the four-year plan, and then the last section, the next financial year plan. So each of the respective managers, I can ask that they then take you through their programs, introduce themselves, then as we announce only a summary of what the key deliverables of this activity or program is, instead of going line by line. The respective items here will be more than willing, as the Minister also indicated, to take questions on the specifics, but I think in terms of time, that this is what we want to propose on the chain. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Mann, for that presentation. You ran very quickly through, and it was also very important. I know that you are saying your online function, officials can always have a few comments on their activities in terms of what to present.
Thank you very much, Honourable Chair. The first issue is energy policy and planning. Mr. Upiapani will deal with that, and I'm not going to do each of his programs and then introduce himself as we know them. Thank you.
Thank you, Honourable Members. Thank you, Chair. Dr. Bama, my name is Upiapani, and I'm going to do the presentation on the energy policy planning branch that also covers the clean energy component. If I can perhaps just give a very country background in terms of the departments. That's how we are basically responsible for putting policies in place, making sure that we also plan in the interest of the energy security of the country. So we look across the sectors and we cover electricity, petroleum, gas, but also energy efficiency initiatives in order to ensure that South Africa has adequate supply of various energy carriers. What the next few slides do indicate some of the various initiatives that we have introduced, and I'm going to go into the detail, there's a few of them. Dr. Barnard indicated cover them in leisure, but I would have highlighted a few of the supply side energy security initiatives. I would reflect on some of the plans and then cover some of the demand side issues as well. There might be some petition in addition to the legislative instrument that we use, and I will very quickly go through them. If we start with some of the, in fact, just in terms of the presentation, how it is structured is that we have three corners relating to our strategic objective, some, if you like, explanation of what the strategic objective intends to be, and then the targets over the next 5 years relating to the strategic objective. So if I start with energy security, for example, there are two components. The one is supply, the other one is demand. So we reduce demand for energy, we also increase supply. There is a sense that by reducing demand, we will improve our energy efficiency because we waste up to 30% of various energy carriers, is the estimate, and there are therefore various initiatives in this regard. To give a few examples, within the demand regulation space, we have programs to reduce energy consumption in the residential, commercial, and industrial spaces. So our annual performance plan would set targets as to how we're going to improve energy efficiency in buildings. For example, Parliament is one of those initiatives. In the buildings, up to 100,000 public works buildings also fall under this initiative. And what happens is we put in place incentive schemes. The Income Tax Act has been amended. There is a regulation in terms of which you can gain income tax rebates in a commensurate to the energy that you have saved. So that's the incentive side of things. In terms of specific regulations, we introduced the new building standard in terms of which all new buildings have to perform according to a certain energy requirement and so on. So how we deal with that is we also report on an annual basis to the performance. We have what we refer to as the energy efficiency target management system, against which we measure the performance of the efficiency improvements in the system. So this is a complete loop. We start with the policy position. There are certain regulations that have been put in place, then the initiatives, either incentives or even disincentives, and then ultimately the measurement of the initiative. If I can maybe just on that last slide talk to the plans that we put in place. So that was the one component about energy efficiency, then just in terms of the plans. And this is on the considerations, the National Development Plan, the NDP. And what we do from an energy perspective is we start with the integrated energy plan, so I apologize for the acronyms, IEP stands for integrated energy plan. What the integrated energy plan does, it looks at all our possible energy carriers in the country, given the mineral resources that we have and how we can convert it. So largely coal, uranium, gas resources that we are pursuing, and also imported energy carriers. And then the integrated energy plan provides a platform for modeling the most optimal energy system and how to meet our demand. But the energy integrated energy plan has some components. It looks, for example, within the electricity space, through what is referred to as the IRP, the integrated resource plan. And basically what that does is it seeks to balance electricity supply and demand in the same time frame as the integrated energy plan. And so the various sectors will each have their own plans so also have the 20-year liquid fuels infrastructure roadmap, the long acronym, the 20YLFIRM, is the 20-year infrastructure roadmap for liquid fuels. And then the gas utilization master plan is the equivalent for trying to introduce both conventional and indigenous gas. And the indigenous gas we're referring to in this case is our shale gas resources, but also looking at natural gas resources and coal-based methane. And further on, as Director General has indicated, we also have infrastructure plans associated with these high-level plans. The TDP is the Transmission Development Plan. One of the problems that we find is as we build more and more power stations, the ability to bring the power to the load centers is compromised because of the lack of transmission infrastructure. In fact, it is the biggest bottleneck, the fact that you have to negotiate servitudes with landowners and procure the land, and in some instances even expropriate. So if you do not have a long-term plan, this just compromises your ability to move quickly on that. And then lastly, on the electricity side, the major distribution infrastructure plan, it talks largely to bulk infrastructure for municipalities to bring electricity into those urban areas. So basically, this is, you know, a high-level summary of what we do from an energy security perspective to meet our need going forward. As to the next set of slides, Sister has now a little bit more detailed outlining some of the specific programs to do that. I will not dwell on each one, but just give you a flavor. One of the biggest initiatives relates to pursuant to our objectives in the energy space. We have set ourselves 8 objectives, one of which objectives relates to regional integration. So we meet our energy security by integrating into the South region, the South African development community. The INGA project, bringing power from the DRC through Zambia, through Zimbabwe, ultimately to South Africa, and also looking at initiatives in Mozambique. Those are some of the things that we facilitate. If I move on then to the legislative instrument, remember what happens is that we put policies in place, but to implement the policy, or to give teeth, so to speak, to those policies, put legislation in place or regulation and so forth. And the initiatives, the one that perhaps we need to bring to the attention is the so-called national, is the old independent system and market operator bill, a different consideration around how to address concerns that have been raised before. At this point, we have coined it as the NISMO bill. I apologize, Chair. This is part of the disadvantages of being short, so I can't move my seat forward. Okay, so that is the legislative program. Dr. Barnard has led to amendments to the Electricity Regulation Act, the National Energy Regulator Act, and so forth. If I can then move to some of the other initiatives to address the challenges outlined by the Director General, is that building infrastructure requires it to be funded one way or the other. And one of the challenges we have is how do we make sure that the pricing of the user charge does not kill the economy and is not too burdensome on the end users. So what we're doing is we're looking at mechanisms to develop what we refer to as a long-term electricity price path in a manner that would make it smoother increases rather than the, you know, the increases that we've seen over the past 5 years. We've seen some very high step changes in place to that. Without tariffs to recover the costs of building the infrastructure, we will not be able to build the infrastructure as conditions
Scribble City.
Chair, with your permission, next presentation is about petroleum products, but can I perhaps suggest we go to the energy? Mm-hmm. Because my colleague is not chair at the moment, it's just that part. If I can maybe just complete the presentation and as far as clean energy is concerned. Mm-hmm. Again, the clean energy branch is a standalone one, and effectively what we do there is looking at three major sub-programs relating to reducing demand, energy efficiency, mm-hmm. as I have alluded to a lot of those. There is a concerted effort that relates to building renewable energy. Now, I mentioned that we have eight objectives in the energy space, and I mentioned one that relates to regional integration. This one relates to two of the objectives. One is that in the interest of our climate change policy framework, that we want to mitigate the impact, the adverse impact of greenhouse gas emissions, and therefore a concerted program on clean energy. Secondly, we believe that through the clean energy initiative, we would be able to create a local industrialization program, given the opportunities for the technologies to be developed locally and for us to create a local job. So that covers at least three of those that we said. I'm not going to drill too much on the energy efficiency, I've already done that, but just to reflect on the renewable energy program, mm-hmm. A few of the highlights relate to the independent power producer program for the renewables. As you might be aware, to date we have introduced about 4,000 megawatts of various technologies, wind, solar, concentrating solar power, biomass, and small hydro. And the program is focusing on bringing those generating opportunities in areas with the resources. So in other words, for the purpose of the National Council of Provinces, just in case the question comes, the program is open to all provinces. It just happens that most of the resource relating to solar is concentrated in the Northern Cape. It so happens that most of the resources relating to wind is found in the Eastern and the Western Cape. It does not mean there's any particular reason to exclude other provinces. On the contrary, there's also been a concerted program to harness the biomass opportunity in KwaZulu-Natal, mainly sugar and wind power industries, so what we refer to as the co-generation. So that is the summary of the renewable energy program. If I can maybe then just touch on the solar water heating program, maybe as the last component of the clean energy. Basically what we're doing in that phase is we have a target of about 1 million solar water heaters. In fact, the target was by March 2015, and we've only been able to achieve about 400,000 of those. The number of reasons which we are addressing some shortcomings relating mainly to local content, relating to skills development and job creation out of the program. What we want to do ultimately is it makes economic sense that we heat our water not using coal or electricity, but that we use the sun for that particular purpose. And this program provides an incentive or a rebate for the deployment of solar water heating in various. Leave it at the end. Thank you, Chair.
Okay, we'll get another presentation from another branch.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairperson. Good afternoon to the Chair, the members, Honorable Minister, the DG. I must apologize upfront, my voice is not quite what it normally is, but I will do my best nevertheless. The branch that I want to talk to is the Petroleum Products Regulation branch. I think it's important for me just to give a bit of context because we, in terms of the slides, we only have three slides here, But it's important that I just explain briefly the context, that the regulation of petroleum in South Africa excludes oil and gas upstream regulation. So we do not do, for example, the permitting of a shale gas exploration or, you know, exploration for oil and gas in the country. But anything else falls under the remit of the Minister of Energy. The upstream oil and gas is done by the Ministry of Mineral Resources. Now that's an area that has at some point will need some discussion, but this is not why we're here today. Secondly, Chair and Honourable Member, when we approach our work as the regulation branch, we do it having an enabling environment, creating an enabling environment for economic development in our country. That's first and foremost what we consider when we regulate. Secondly, the issue of a cost of human activity, cost of doing business, that's what is usually called, but we prefer to use cost of human activity because not all of the people of our country are involved in business. And thirdly, we try as much as possible to make sure that we ensure equitable participation in the sector. Now, that is an area that still remains a challenge, and that is an area that, I, in my view, requires you know, a national effort, the issue of equitable participation in our petroleum space. The other issue that we consider as we regulate is national interest, very important for us. So when you come to our country and you say you want to establish you know, a vehicle for you to use to dispense petroleum products, we have to make sure that there is a national component to that immediately when you start. That's what we insist on. Now, the other area that I thought the DG mentioned in his introduction that keeps us quite occupied in the petroleum regulation space is volatility of the petroleum products. Now, here it's important that I indicate that we are price takers in the country. Until such time that we find our own oil and gas, we will remain price takers. And I believe that it is important for me to also indicate that it is in our national interest that the issue of, you know, the issue of finding our own oil and gas, I think, needs to, you know, gather some pace. I also thought it's important for me just to talk about some of the issues that take impact on the prices currently. I think it's well known that last year we were a beneficiary of basically one of the major oil producing countries trying to take out you know, some of the other smaller producers of oil and gas. And in my view, they did that quite successfully. That is why now they think they've reached the bottom. They're changing strategy now. The price is turning and going up. And I will not necessarily mention that. I think the country is known. It's a big oil producing country in the world. And that was a strategy that they adopted. Now, the challenges that we face, we have in this country aging infrastructure for petroleum. And that is a fact that we have to acknowledge. We are doing something about that proactively. And in doing that proactively, the decisions that are taken by the minister, the decisions that are taken by NERSA in this regard, sometimes get challenged. But all of these decisions are aimed at making sure that in as far as petroleum is concerned, we don't find ourselves wanting, you know, 3-5 years from now. So in this regard, there are import infrastructure facilities that have been licensed. Here in Cape Town, there's one facility that has been licensed. That facility is subject to some controversy because one of the major players is not in favor of that facility operating. So these are some of the issues that confront us. There's a facility also in Nelson Mandela Bay Metro that has been licensed. One in Richards Bay also licensed. And all of this is to make sure that, you know, we don't wait for the day when we need such facilities for us to then have them constructed in a hurry, and then we find ourselves without fuel. Now, what keeps us awake, I think it's important, and I mean, all of the what I'm talking to, talks to, basically how we do, you know, how we achieve what I'm talking to currently. What keeps us awake, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members, is that on an annual basis, we have to ensure that 26 billion liters, you know, flows through our system. That's 26 billion liters of fuel. And of that, 18 billion is manufactured in the country, and the rest is imported. Now, not all of that 26 billion is consumed here. Some of it has to go to our neighboring states, Botswana, Lesotho, Namibia, and Swaziland. We have a system on a daily basis where we check that everything is in place. On a weekly basis, we have a meeting with oil companies. On every 2 months, we have a meeting with supply managers so that constantly we know that things are moving, we are able to anticipate where there can be challenges. Now, sometimes things do happen. Recently we had that major incident at the BP refinery, the BP Shell refinery called Sabras in Durban, where we actually had an explosion that happened when the workers, they were busy pressure testing a pipe. Now, that was an incident of a very unfortunate incident. But in the course of basically doing the work, that is normal in this kind of environment. Now, lastly, I think it's important for me to say that in order for us to sustain this kind of activity, we need competent, people. We need a competent crew of professional regulators. So basically what we do is we are working with the oil companies to train our staff. We have a program that we are starting with this, with the oil companies to start some kind of a petroleum institute. And we'll also be looking at sending some of the colleagues, as Dr. Bernard has indicated, to universities abroad. Now, I think what we have as objectives there on the slide, they talk to basically this, and I think I wouldn't want to spend too much time on them, just to say that we have a target where we also have to make sure that the oil companies or anybody who operates in our space complies. So the enforcement notices have got to be issued on time from our side. We have a target in terms of that. We have a target to reach 1,200 retail sites a year. And I can assure the committee that those targets will be met. We can be held accountable next time we come here towards the end of the year in terms of that. Then in terms of the transformation, this is an area that is still, as indicated, a challenge in the sense that where we fall short on transformation is finance. is financing the companies to be able to enter the space. I think that is an area that we will have to find a way of working very closely with the Small Business Development Department to make sure that from a retail perspective, we are able to find a mechanism where black retailers can actually be financed to be able to enter the space. Currently, the figures are not acceptable, and this is a matter that we constantly raise with the retailers that this has got to, the picture has got to change there. On the wholesaling side, there has been progress, I must indicate. So the progress in as far as the wholesalers is there, but on retail, there's still a lot of work that has to be done. The pricing, transparent fuel pricing, that's an ongoing activity, and I believe that so far we have been able to make sure that we keep within the required standards. In as far as the presentation here, I would want to end here from my side. I know I've taken long.
Do we have Dr. Yala Panch?
I will share you these two, the energy program, project, and new team.
All right.
Good afternoon, Honorable Chair, and good afternoon, Honorable members, and also good afternoon to my minister and colleagues. My name is Mthokozi Sihofu. I will be taking you through a very short and brief presentation of the strategic plan for the energy problems and project branch. Basically, the purpose of the branch is to manage and effect projects and programs relating to energy, mainly in the electrification phase, as well as other programs that the department does roll forward. Basically, we where at the tail end, once the program has been designed and when it comes to implementation, then this is where then my branch comes in terms of ensuring that those projects have an according to plan, as well as to make sure that government we get value for money in terms of all the money that we spend, whether the objectives that we set for ourselves do basically come to realization. Basically, as you probably are aware, that the challenge that the country faces mainly is that we've got close to 3 million households that currently do not enjoy electricity like we do enjoy electricity by and large most of us. So basically, this is the function of my branch to ensure that we do reach those households through either electrification, grid electrification, or non-grid electrification. Obviously, as you can see in the last column, we basically mentioned the leaders that we try to electrify by the end of this administration term. We currently, in the current financial, in the past financial year, basically we had a target of electrifying around 263,000 households with grid electricity, as well as 15,000 households with non-grid electricity. Obviously, you see the 5-year target is to electrify 1,089,000 households via grid. We would like the target to be higher, but unfortunately, through the cost containments that have been mentioned earlier, which I'm not going with, that's why the target has basically been at where it is. Basically, in our projection, to be able to reach the NDP target was basically to have the clear at the end of this current administration to be around 1.4 million, but obviously because of the cost containment, then we had to sort of curtail that number to basically be in line with the economic conditions that are currently prevailing in the country. We also, given the money that we spend in our programs, we also task with the responsibilities of ensuring that ourselves as DOE, as well as our stakeholders, that some of them are responsible to actually implement this process on the ground. We do basically follow best practice, program management principles, so that we mitigate against failures in the project implementation, as well as to ensure that we basically have a coordinated approach to ensure that we reach our target. Yeah. With regards to monitoring of the infrastructure, there is a program that my colleague next to me mentioned, the Renewable Energy Independent Power Producer Program, which basically also monitoring with regards to the value for money in terms of the objectives that as government we set ourselves as to what we want to achieve from that program. Maybe if I can mention a few of what the targets were, but basically to ensure that the program does increase job creation as well as stimulate local industry with regards to energy infrastructure development, manufacturing, etc., as well as to make sure that local communities do benefit from those projects, as well as to ensure that enterprise development does okay. So basically those are things that we monitor on a daily basis to ensure that these private developers that come into our space do basically comply with the set criteria of the program. Obviously, if that doesn't happen, then obviously there are issues of compliance and as well as penalties that do go along with those in case they do not comply. Yeah. We are also will be responsible subject to other processes where we need to monitor the solar water heating program. As my colleague alluded to, that we try to work on the issues that basically have led to the program not meeting 1 million solar water heaters. Once those issues are resolved, probably we will also be at the core phase of ensuring that the set objectives of training, entrepreneurial development, as well as local content, we basically ensure that we will be monitoring those accordingly to make sure that we do realize all the aspirations that the department has with regards to those programs. As well as that we will be, there is rebate, which basically means that it's the money that comes from either the tariff or from the fiscal to ensure that we do go an extra mile to make sure that we basically use the solar energy to ensure that we take out all the water heating from electricity to other forms of various energy that we have in. Basically, in short, that is what basically my branch is responsible for, our like two entity. Thanks, sir.
Thank you, sir.
Good afternoon, Honorable Chairperson, Honorable Members, and Honorable Minister, colleagues, and all protocol observed. My name is Honorable Mambo. I'm the TDG for Nuclear Operation. I'm going to take you through the activities that are pursued by the nuclear branch. In terms of our policy, it's important that we highlight that what the branch really is responsible for is the management of the nuclear industry for South Africa, as well as the control of the nuclear material through the use of our national legislation, as well as through compliance to our international obligations. As honorable members, you may be aware that South Africa is a member state to the International Atomic Energy Agency, and we are required to make sure that in terms of our implementation of the nuclear program, we comply with our international obligations. And also to make sure that as we are signatory to the non-proliferation treaty, that we adhere to it in terms of the use of the nuclear material for peaceful purposes. I think what is important for us to focus on as the branch is that honorable members, you'll be aware that we are busy with the preparation for the expansion of the nuclear building program. And so mainly, most of our work is driven towards preparing for the development of the framework that we're going to use to roll out the nuclear build program, as well as to monitor the industry in terms of its compliance with the framework that we have developed as the department. the main focus, the honourable members, is that we need to make sure that we've got the existing legislation that Dr. Bana and the Acting DG have already discussed, in particular the National Nuclear Regulatory Act. We need to update the legislation. The legislation that was promulgated more than 10 years ago, we now need to update or amend to make sure that it takes into account the current developments to create an efficient regulatory framework for the country, as well as take into account the nuclear development that we are embarking upon in this country. Also, the key legislation that we're focusing on is the Nuclear Energy Act of 1999, which lays out the framework within which we implement the nuclear program in the country. So we need to also update it and add it such that it takes into account the current development, and we also make sure that we can enhance the regulatory framework within which the industry operates. The new legislation also that focusing on as a branch is the promulgation of the Radioactive Waste Management Fund Bill. The main focus of this legislation, honorable members, is that we have inaugurated the Institute for Radioactive Waste Disposal, and we need to make sure that we can sustain this institute through relevant legislation in terms of creating the funding mechanisms that would enable the institute to have sustainable funding going forward. So those are the three pieces of legislation that we will be focusing on. And then also in terms of going forward, we focus, as I've indicated, that we're also focusing on making sure that the current existing nuclear program, we provide oversight to the industry, and so we need to process the applications to make sure that we can control the exchange of nuclear material in the country. And also, one of the key focus for the branch is that we are preparing for the procurement of the nuclear build. The rollout of the nuclear build in South Africa, we are looking to participate into the entire VAT. And so our preparation is to roll out the entire nuclear fuel cycle, addressing all critical aspects of the nuclear fuel cycle. The key issues there is that we'll be looking into the procurement of the nuclear fuel cycle, the launching of the procurement, which are the key elements that we will be implementing as a branch in terms of rolling out the nuclear fuel program. And this will also apply in terms of the nuclear power plants, which are a major component of the program. And so we're busy planning the procurement process, and we've been actively engaging with the various vendor countries in this regard, in terms of them making proposals as to how they intend to implement the nuclear build program in the way selected to the technology partners of the country. In addition, one of the key issues we're focusing on as the branch is that we want to make sure that there is a benefit of this nuclear technology in the country. So localization is one of the critical elements that as a branch we are focusing on in terms of developing a conducive framework that will ensure that we become self-sufficient. Another key deliverable that the branch is focusing on is on creating stakeholder awareness of the benefit of the nuclear technology. And so we engage with the stakeholders in terms of demystifying the nuclear technology through the various means, the various forums where we create public awareness through media, through going into the various sites where the activities are planned to take place for rollout of the nuclear belt. And those are our major focus for the preparation and the rollout of the nuclear program. And indeed, honorable members, the acting director general has indicated that the department, we are undertaking a focused training programs to make sure that we can train our people to have relevant skills to implement or to roll out this special program. And in this regard, we are undertaking to send large numbers of trainees to the various countries that have got nuclear technology to be trained at various levels of nuclear technology aspects. And indeed, last month we sent 50 trainees in China, and we will be sending in more trainees into the different nuclear technology countries to make sure that as a country we are ready to roll out the nuclear program to meet the demands of the program. We require you to provide us the baseload electricity, and it's one of the options that we are implementing in line with the integrated resource plan for the 2010-2030. And with that, Chairperson, I'd like to end here with the presentation. I thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Mambo. Simple translation, Lips. Thank you very much, sir. I'm trying to make excuse me, you would have had to continue if time allows you. But nevertheless, thank you for the branch. The other one, second DJ.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. The last one is on a very important one in the budget of the department, which is on slide 83. So as announced in the beginning, so it's just an overview. The details are in between up to slide 82 and slide 83. Mr. Chetty will take us through the various aspects around our budget, Honorable Chair.
Good afternoon, Chair, honourable members. I take you to the budget of the interim period, which has plan and APP that was just presented, because the funding over the interim period will support some of those activities. The department's budget allocation for 2015-16 is 7.4 million. It amounts to transfer payments to public entities and municipalities is 6.9 billion, which is equivalent to 93.8% of the department's total budget. The remaining budget of 498 million is for its operational costs, which is pretty limited to meet some of the operational cost of the department. And this will be the trend for the last 5 years, closer to 5% for operational costs. The history of the fiscal allocations, I will just start on 2013-14, if that's okay with you, Chair. There has been a decrease of 3%, and that decrease is mainly due to the multi-product pipeline, which was a final payment to Transnet. In 2014-15, there was a very big increase of 14%, and it was mainly due to Nexa receiving 190 million for the refurbishment of its Pelindaba site and some refurbishment of the other facilities at Nexa. Senegi also received money for carbon capture storage projects, and additional funds were also allocated to the department for compensation of employees. If we look at the current year, 2015-16, it's now at 7.4 billion. It increased by 0.9%, and the additional allocation was for the INEP numbering program. The department did request additional funding for various projects through the department. However, for financial year, we didn't receive very much of that request. On the next lecture, all I wanted to state was that amongst the branches in the department and the entities, just to show the split of the budget of the 7.4 billion, the biggest chunk goes to the Integrated National Electrification Program, where most of the electrification connections take place. And the second is to NECA. If I can move on. Chair, on this slide, it gives you the indicative budget. The executive budget was is normally communicated to the department, but through the final negotiations that happen through the budgeting process, we do get final allocation. And in the final allocation, our budget has been reduced. It was initially as an indicative cost of 7.9 billion. We were reduced to 7.4 billion. It was a cut of 6.34% across all programs. The first program, administration, covers all support functions in the department. That's the ministry, the DD's office, CMO, COO, corporate services, and internal audits. Energy and policy planning took a cut of 10.2%. Petroleum and petroleum products regulation was cut by 6.7%. And the next big cut was nuclear energy by 4%. And clean energy took the biggest cut of 13.2%, and mainly in the solar water heating program. When we go to the economic classification, the entire 7.4 billion is split into four categories. That's compensation of employees of 289 million, goods and services of 203 million, transfers and subsidies of 6.9 billion, and capital assets a small amount. And they were equally cut, and the biggest cut had been in payment of capital assets, but it's a cut that the department can live with for now. The end-year final allocation letter, after much deliberation with National Treasury, MINCOM budget released by National Treasury on the 21st of November, the original indicative allocation of the end-year period of 7.98 billion was reduced. In 2016-17, it is sitting at 8.38 billion. 16-17, 8.81 billion. So 17-18, 8.8 billion. Has been adjusted downward by incorporating the following reductions. The reductions are mainly due to the economic climate and the funding constraints of National Treasury, and also competing priorities amongst the national departments. The following areas were reduced: compensation of employees by 71.8 million over the MTF period. In this regard, Chair, the department has had many discussions, and one of its suggestions and consideration is for support functions to take a bigger cut in terms of the vacancies and allow the line function to fill more of those vacant positions. Goods and services have also been reduced by 102 million over the MTF period. Capital assets also went down by 1.3 million. Transfer payments went down by 1.4 billion over the MTF period, mainly in the solar water heating program over the MTF period. The deductions bring the final baseline to 7.4 billion for the 2015-16 financial year. Although there were significant reductions that have been incorporated into the budget of the Department of Energy, the department has taken these reductions into account when the targets were being developed. So some of the targets have been reduced where necessary. The transfer payments reductions of 1.4 billion over the MTF period are in the following areas: INEP, that's the Integrated National Electrification Program, ESCOM, has been reduced by 288.2 million over the MTF period. INEP municipalities, also reduced by 280 million over the MTF period. ESCOM solar water heating program, reduced by 962 million. This was initially 833 million, but that increase went up so that it could help NEFA with some of their reduction. Then the energy efficiency and demand side management, these are transfers to the municipalities, was also reduced by 39.4 million over the MTF period. As much as there were some reductions to budget, there was also some funds reprioritized towards the 2016. The National Nuclear Regulator reduced by 30.4 million in 2015-16 and 20.1 million in 2016-17. SINIDI was reduced by 24.2 million in 2015-16 and 36.3 million in 2016-17. NEFSA also went down by 26.6 million and 39.9 million in 2016-17. Funds that came into the department were 50.3 million in 2015-16. We had 82.3 million. And then likewise, 15-17 had 103 million. 17-18 also had a slight increase as well. And the increases that were recommended was 51.3 million is recommended for the reprioritization towards NEFSA over the MTF period. And this is to cater for decommissioning president of the part of strategic nuclear facilities at Pelindaba. 170 million is recommended for the reprioritization towards the INEP program, that's for the non-grid fund, for additional non-grid electrification over the MTF period. Then 15 million is for additional training and development towards the CETL over the MTF period. That's affiliated to the department though. Finally, Chair, the above mentioned deductions did require a view of the department's performance targets to be aligned to the funding received, and this was indeed done. The compensation of employees' deductions will impact on how the department will deal with natural attrition over the MDF period. A freeze on the vacant positions has been recommended by natural attrition. The solar water heating project, there has been certain conditions placed on the department that quarterly reporting to the Urban Development Infrastructure Unit of public finance within the National Treasury has to be met on the 15th of every month, indicating its progress. In the 2014 budget, $35 million was allocated for carbon capture and storage research project, which was carried out annually, and it ends in 2013-16. However, the department has been allowed to shift some funds towards operational costs to help Sineli should the need arise. And lastly, carbon capture and storage funding will be reviewed by National Treasury in future budget projects. With that, I thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Yvonne. I name is Chakasan. But I know we are checking. I think very much when I was about to ask where seems to me the department is not trying to assess it. At that point, you came at the right time to bring that monopoly. Thank you. Something did you? No, you are done. All right. Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, there you are. I will only have one round for yourselves. So one round, not the second round for your questions. I can see already my work is indicating. Start from yourself. Any other one? Number one. You are the only one so far. Thank you. You have the floor.
Chair, I want to suggest, to make a suggestion with respect to the process, considering of the time factor, of course, that we throw questions and the department responds in writing. How is that?
Can you first throw your question?
Okay, my first question, Chair, is around renewable energy bias to Northern Cape and Western Cape. What is the department doing with regards to looking, if I may use that way, for a lack of better way, other provinces to also get involved in this project, in this particular project, because energy is a national crisis. My second question is around the liberalization of the economy in the petroleum industry. The gentleman who spoke on this particular problem doesn't sound very aggressive for me when it comes to transformation. We're getting a revolution here, Chair, in my view. And you know, this lack of necessary aggression where it is necessary is really disturbing me on the heart of the department. He says, to use his words, that we're talking to the captains of industry, really to change, we're talking really to change. It's been 21 years of democracy, my friend. It's been 21 years, can't be talking and be talking forever. We need to be aggressive now, radical transformation. I mean, about time and it's up to fight. Problems around the rollout of the solar water heating programs. What are these problems? If we may be benefited with those problems. The visibility of the new energy awareness program. It sounds like we this particular subject of the new energy is really kind of some kind of a taboo that don't want to touch any with both hands. What is it that we feel about this thing? I really don't know. Where does this fear of the unknown come from? I mean, we're engaging in this program, and let's be bold about it and be open about it. And then this program, let's have it rolled out aggressively. Why are we not having that kind of an approach? The current INGA project, I would love, as I said, that we get a benefited piece of a semester report in this regard.
We've now had this extraordinary bilateral agreement has been endorsed by the House on this particular project. So that would benefit. And I would also love a site visit on this particular project to see on our own as members of Parliament to what really is happening there. The other spending on almost every problem, when the country has been downgraded, mostly on account of energy security. What is the philosophy behind this? I really can't find it. Maybe if you can benefit and assist me to understand. Do we take into account the escalation on the pricing on electricity? I know this may be a very controversial kind of a comment. Do we consider perhaps a cross-transmission in this country, especially on the part of the poor? Almost every second week of the month, Chair, we see a review of food price. What informs this? Why is the market behaving this way? Do we have a comprehensive strategy as a department to mitigate against this? If I can stop at that, Chair. Thank you very much.
Now I can see why you said let's ask some questions and responses come in writing. Because of the many questions that we had, over 9 questions, but we come to that. Thank you very much. Let's go to the Honorable Chairman, and then Honorable Board, Eddie.
Thank you, Chair. I want to start with the good news.
Go ahead.
I would prefer to start with the good news. That fortunately, DG, you are speaking to some school. I want to applaud that in terms of the infrastructural development as far as distribution is concerned, we are doing quite well. And I want to applaud that we are reaching down to the most vulnerable section of our own society, and that we are doing so well. That is speaking to Chair through you. Access to energy is our main priority. The balance, striking that balance between supply and demand. And I think we are going into the right direction. However, the department is also hit the nerve when you say the generation capacity vis-a-vis distribution infrastructure needs to be. I mean, inherently, what comes first is that you must have the generation capacity to be able to carry the country moving forward, so that you can be able to mitigate your distribution infrastructure moving forward. And I hear the department speaking about that, but you are not giving us a sense as to what is it that you are putting in place for us to be moving in that direction. The other issue is that you are talking about the volatility of the petroleum product prices, but the department is mum on how do we then mitigate this volatility. The aging energy infrastructure, this is a historical issue. But for how long are we going to be speaking about aging infrastructure? The cost of energy, Chair. Energy is becoming, this is also one of the historical issues, that energy is becoming increasingly a commodity in South Africa. That it depends on how, what is the strength of your buying power in order for you to be able to access energy. But also agree that part of our priority as this government is to ensure that energy reaches the most vulnerable section of the society. How do we then balance commodification of energy vis-a-vis access to it? The second last, are we having capacity to produce the 26 million liters that we need? If I heard correctly, you said we are using 26 billion and we produce 18 in the country and therefore the remaining 8 cut outside. We produce 8. Is it not 18? Okay. Probably I'll be clarified. The last issue you said that I want to speak on. Madam, 53.1 million meant for contamination. Why did we allow contamination in the first place? Helena, please clarify. Thank you, sir.
Chairperson, you think? Oh, Honorable Timonia was correct when he said we must just put up questions. But also, what has happened is that in the presentation it became apparent how important this whole terrain of energy production is. I want to say thank you to the department for the documents and the presentation that they have given to us. It is really a resourceful tool. But the problem is the more you give us, the more we're going to be raising questions because of the importance of it. Is the sun going down? Chair, my first question would relate to Kuha. There is a wind producer, if I use correct term, dead Kuha, who's importing steel. We were very worried when we noticed that last week. How could we give a contract, particularly on the question of steel, to someone and buy steel from some other country? I don't know where it's buying it from, but it's not South African steel that they are using there. My second question, Chair, is all related to your slide 17. My second question is on the volatility of petroleum product prices as well. But some of our constituency members, when we report to them, can't understand why we are not using petroleum products from the continent. We, for example, read about the difficulty that Angola is experiencing, and we agree with you when you shared with us the manipulation of the prices by this one country, who has also been a big investor in Angola. But at one time we were made to understand that we would be able to get better prices from Sudan. Now we can understand the crisis in Sudan. We wouldn't want to mention the other countries on the African continent. Now maybe we should mention Nigeria and Cameroon. Help us to understand what are the factors that inhibit us from procuring petroleum products from these African countries, particularly in the light of the Agenda 2063. My penultimate question would just be on a different level. It is on security. It pains us, particularly this time of year, when some of the poorest people in our community living in informal settlements have their homes and their property and their lives destroyed because there's no safe access to safe energy for them. They continue to be dependent upon everything. And then the sheikhs burn and our children suffer. I read in the SAA bulletin for this month as I was coming here about this young African entrepreneur that is using cane and shrapnel for making charcoal with that. It's still at an experimental phase. Now, I do know that at some time there was a young entrepreneur in South Africa as well looking at an alternative for paraffin where he compressed something together that helped to produce safe energy. Can you, if you are looking at a long-term plan, please look at the energy that is safe, particularly for those people that do not have options of switching on their light. My final point of question, Chairperson, my final question, Chairperson, would be on a concern that I have with this off-grid suppliers. If they're going to be supplying into the grid, what is going to be the impact of that on the price? And let me leave it there.
Thank you much, Honourable Member. I know that firstly the Minister has asked to be excused from this meeting. There was an urgent message that she must attend to another business. I allowed her. But also, I want to tell the apology of Honourable Member Lund and his promise that he assesses our Honourable Member further. So if there are any more questions, please take care of Honourable Lund's questions. If not so, right.
Thank you, Honourable Chair. From what I heard, asked the Minister for running, she's got running shoes. So my mind is sponsoring that apparently. Just quickly, I want to start off by just saying that I've got two questions just on the launch. The first one was where the Minister commented that unfortunately they were not in Oudtshoorn and that they would go to Oudtshoorn. On the launch, just like if the Honourable Minister can just give the dates on that, because you'd also like to attend that when the Minister goes there. Then the second question that Honourable Lawn to ask was very similar to mine, and it was about the people that's being sent to China for training. If I hear correctly, it was 50 people. Now what is the cost and over what period? But then also I know that we are doing exactly the same with Russia. We send people to the nuclear energy Russia for at university to Russia. I'd also like to know how many people from South Africa has been sent there, and also what the cost indications are on those. And then I just want to quickly start by helping Honourable Eddie next year by saying when we were at Kuga, I think Honourable Suka, you and I were together on this specific one, and it was that the steel that we can get in South Africa is more expensive than a complete imported product from Korea. And it's because of subsidization of at least the cylinders of the valves only that comes from that. The other steel valves come from South Africa. But it was very disturbing for me to hear that they get the complete product, this big cylinder thing that puts these valves together, cheaper from Korea, imported than they could get the raw steel in South Africa. Now let me go on. Then I'd like to know the National Development Plan specifies that we are talking about clean energy and nuclear energy. I don't know if it really falls under that. You know, if we look at CNN at the moment, Chernobyl, that where are just now fires around Chernobyl, not even clear near the reactors, but because of the nuclear waste that they've laid down, now with fires raging in the air, there are again nuclear exposure of nuclear industrial stuff, and this worries me, because if you are looking at nuclear energy, we have to learn from other places, and this after one mishap there happens, and they show that it actually that it can go right across the whole of Europe. Now I don't think we want something like that in South Africa, and to be quite honest, with the outdated Russian nuclear stuff that I've seen was on the also that the new Russian nuclear power plant that they must be talking about, from what I understand, because it's a French company. I know you all have read this, that the French product apparently is much cheaper and also newer than the Russian ones. Then I need to know, I see we've got this deals going with Russia, China. Can we get clarity? Is there now deals on nuclear that is on the table? Will they be coming to Parliament? Will we know what's happening on this? Because we apparently hear that the President said to Honourable Tina from the Northern Cape, don't worry, I'll sign this $1 trillion deal. Don't you worry, you just do it. So I'm very concerned about these things, because we are looking at
clean energy. We've got wind. We've got, I can show you, you can come to the Northern Cape. We can get the whole Africa going with the sun. So I would like to know about that. And let's quickly go. Then on, when we come to petroleum production and regulation of petroleum, I'd like to know, Sasol and Mortos, for instance, they, how are they connected to the, what we call it, to the barrel prices? Because it seems like our petrol prices and stuff goes up as it goes like Iran, Iraqis prices. But as we said about the petrol that we produce ourselves, I mean, are we getting that, are this being subsidized? Is it more expensive? Or is it so cheap that we actually made even a good profit on it? I'd like to know about that, because I know most of these things used to be at the old apartheid regime, they started that. So I need to know, how do we regulate? Because if we say we regulate it because of overseas prices, this has been done right here with us. I need to know about that.
Sorry, I've got a long list.
Understand, ladies and gentlemen, when you talk of Mosgas, you talk of Mosgas,
Yeah. Chairperson, there are actually a lot of other questions, but I'm going to stop and I'll tell you why, because I really believe in these programs, that one should really take one program almost per day and work through it, because there's a hell of a lot of information on each program. If I have to now start going through all the questions that I've just made now, it will take us till 6, 7 o'clock tonight. This is what I'm trying to say. It really doesn't deserve just a short while. And I would really love to have been much better prepared for this, so that we could have asked good questions and get good answers later on. But I think I'll just take my name. Thank you so much.
Thank you for those questions. Honourable Member Dukhala?
Thank you, Chairperson. I think me and Honourable Farmer were covered by the Honourable Members that night, so I think it's good to stay covered rather than to say he's having many questions. But I want to say to the Department, you are really working hard. And thanks for this service delivery that were delivered to all of us, including the members of EFF and GA. They can see that you can deliver. Thank you very much. Yeah, I think they will be glad. The other thing, yeah, he is saying he's going to give one to Musi Maimai because he married the wife. You see, they are really monitoring Musi. Oh, okay. So it's not we don't monitor anybody, we choose our leaders according to their ability. Well, I want to thank the Minister, Honorable Chairperson, because she really showed the good character of a leader by apologizing to the committee because we really waited for her in Otsora, but she was not there and she apologized. And the summit that she's going, she promised us this afternoon that she's going to have it in Otsora. I'm representing Limpopo. I really want to ask that one must come to Limpopo also. We need a summit. And also, out of the 50 learners or students that we sent to China, I want to check how many did you choose from Limpopo province. I hope 5 of them, if I divide 50 by 9 provinces, 5 will come from Limpopo. If none of them are from Limpopo, then the next round of 15 students will come from Limpopo. No, we are covered. Thanks.
Thank you, Member, but I know you are saying please give us the breakdown of the 50 to China so that we understand. Because we are representing the process here in the MCOP. So we take a keen interest to those who go our process that what they must plow back to our various provinces as some different degrees. As you know, Honorable Member, this is Dr. Mad. The floor is yours.
Thank you. Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you, all of you. And assalamu alaikum. Acting Director General, hearing issues about sending students to foreign countries for education, we have two universities that are coming up in South Africa. how vigorously is your department engaging the Department of Education to ensure that there will be faculties or there will be, that the training will take place in these universities? Not only with regard to the nuclear energy or whatever purpose you're sending them now overseas for, but also you know, it's a dynamic department. It's a growing department. There's lots of new technology all the time. So I think it is very important that this education should take place in South Africa. Secondly, I heard mention of the Inca project and about energy coming from DRC, but also mention of Mozambique. I'd like a little bit of information on what exactly, you know, what are we engaging Mozambique with? I know there's gas coming from Mozambique. What about that Corabasa? Is that, you know, is there still something happening there, or is there still potential there? I do believe that there is enlightening in that one. The other thing is I'm a bit concerned about the migration in with solar energy that is taking place, especially, but not only solar energy in Modern Cape where we were, but also how are we, you know, regulating these alternate energies that are springing up all over the place. What are we doing to ensure that there is sufficient regulation, but also to ensure that there will be participation from the broader community or participation from the previously disadvantaged communities. Finally, this is, please enlighten me here. You know, we've been talking about, you know, a lot about load shedding and so on. My question is, how many is megawatts that is being, you know, being fed into the grid at the moment? What is the shortfall? And after the two power stations, present power stations that are being built, will this fill the gap? And, you know, if it's going to fill the gap, or will we still be needing more after that, but also taking into account the fact that South Africa is a growing country, the need for electricity, for energy is increasing all the time. What is being done at the department to ensure that, you know, we, in, you know, to be proactive, in other words, and ensure that we will not have a shortfall in the future. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Jefferson. I just discussed on this Inca project, but that we had a huge presentation on it as such as well. I would like to know about the amount of energy that we will get from that. And I know it takes a long time. I'm not exactly sure about the projection in how many years we will only be able to tap onto that. But I mean, if we take other energy, for instance, like nuclear power stations and these, is it worth the while, or is there a possibility that we can look at other more safer energy at this stage and then wait for the Inca project, which is on its way to us? Thank you.
Thank you, Honourable Member Chairperson. Committee, I don't even want to speak on nuclear weapons, particular site.
No, I actually wanted to, Chairperson, I wanted to ask that. How many people can be eliminated through the crushing of the atom that is the size of my fingernail? My point is not a question, Chair. It's a comment. I'm grateful that we have all stayed, but there's three of us, Chair, that have to be in a study group meeting. They postponed the meeting from 5:15 to 6:00 to accommodate us. And I would appeal that maybe we take seriously, as I said earlier, on the proposal from Honorable Tibunya, but then also we need to look at the adoption of the minutes of the last meeting. And we are respectfully subject to your ruling and decision on the matter, Chair.
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. Can we agree that we take that to the department through you, so that you build up all the questions, and also members are at liberty to make follow-up questions in writing.
request that the department have also, it's not always normal to respond to my information. All these questions that were raised. And I want to put a time frame to say, at least by what date, when can we get the responses? Oh, look, if they were responding, they were going to respond now. But if you talk of it, of June, hey, well now, yeah, please, man. Something is it, my work, because if it's not my work, they are people on, I'm not feeling it.
Okay, thank you very much. If we can allow 2 weeks, because a lot of us are also from here traveling on the various national and international commissions that we need to come, so I'm just afraid we're not going to get time to sit again to finalize. But also, I would also want to offer, except the written comment, that if the committee feels that we need to come back for another session on, and maybe list it, what specific we, as a matter of fact, are holding.
The 1st of May, or in terms of 2 weeks, and specifically on the date of 2 weeks from now. This weekend is the 9th, the next week is the 18th, so it means by the 21st, you will have those sources from yourselves through our heads. The second thing, if you find space, we will call you again on specific items in your presentation. So our standing in terms of the responses. We will do so. Can we agree that we end this meeting now because of time constraints and because members are packed, they don't want this meeting to discriminate one crowd. To thank you, MTPG, for your team. We are looking forward to meet one another again in terms of the interaction on energy. Energy is a typical matter these days. And we'll always be there. We'll also come to you either through our web or so on, but the committee would like to see you very soon. We'll extend your invitation on that matter. Thank you very much. Have a happy letting. To yourselves, thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, to the committee, can we tell you that the Select Committee on Economic and Business Development have considered budget vote 29 this budget. That is energy, the annual performance plan 2015-2020 of the Department of Energy reports that it has concluded its deliberations. How do you put it? Because we have jumped out this. And the outside matter is the response.
Chairperson, yes. We have received the report. We have been given an opportunity to raise questions, and I would want to propose that it be reported as such that we have received the report and we have raised our questions. But also just a note with that, Chair, on the financial aspect of the report, we did not have questions. And I assume that is because we are satisfied with that. Thank you, Chair.
And then someone on blue on the proposal? Honourable member. Thank you. So the farmers decided to put the annual for the national final. Thank you. That one is exposed. The other matter, as a way of announcement, ladies and gentlemen, there's an invitation from the Department of Labor. There is a pending trip of which they've extended that invitation from the trip to Geneva to ask three members. Request to accompany the Department of Labor, the Ministry, and the Portfolio Committee of the National Assembly of Labor, and us here. That trip is on June. So we have to respond promptly because some relations need to be done as easily as possible by the end of this mid this month. We should conclude that so that logistics can be done and so on. Three members are expected from the Select Committee to accompany the Portfolio Committee and the National Minister, that is the Department Minister of Labour. Hello? Minister of Labour, I'm trying to say. So three people are expected surely can be one party, but we can expedite that.
Okay. I really do not think that the communicator will write on issues of employment. Can we refer this matter to the management of the committee? And the management of the committee has a submission on reporting to this committee later.
Yes, I think that's the correct procedure, but I just wanted to make members aware so that when it is finalized and concluded, we should not be saying we do not know. It's a way of announcement. Madam?
Half a minute and another announcement. We've also been invited by the Department of Tourism to participate in the tourism in Daba. The notice has been circulated to all members. Our secretary has communicated with members, and we are glad to now announce it this weekend from Saturday to next week Monday, that for the moment we have two members of the select committee that has indicated that the government is to attend. Others are so welcome, but the committee will be represented.
Can I just say, ladies and gentlemen, you see the program is a last announcement. We've got other invitations from the various departments, especially the Minister of the Department. Transport has extended an invitation for us. There's always been a lunch taking place. Transport like for process today. I have that kind of activity. And other departments, all that we are sent in from the LA, we always have. You are liberty to attend that. I just want to raise that matter so that maybe we may not find time. As we go out for adjournment, look, there's an item that we did not do it deal with, the strategy plan. The question of the strategic plan of us that needed to be adopted today, and second is the minutes. Can we defer them for tomorrow's meeting? For example, in the morning is international station, and then after two, we pass, we just for the top and so on, less than an hour, and then we time. That's after two. Oh, the Department of EGD tomorrow at half two. I can be also included in that.
Honourable Chair, I would also just like to make an excuse for tomorrow that I will not be attending any meetings here tomorrow. That my apology will also be accepted, please. Thank you.
It will be accepted. We know that this is a build-up and it is quite busy for yourselves. Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. The meeting is adjourned until tomorrow, 2:30. Please let us be punctual so that we can go early. Thank you. Thank you.